in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for bringing us here this morning. Father, we thank you for the reason that we have to come together. We thank you, Lord, for your grace that we find in your Son. Father, for your provision for our salvation and for our blessings that we enjoy each and every day and will throughout all eternity. Father, one of those is your Word and your Holy Spirit that indwells us and teaches us your Word. And we pray, Father, that as you are always faithful, you would be our teacher throughout the service today. In our Savior's name, amen. Ephesians and chapter 2. Let's read, we're going to start in Ephesians 2:19, and we're going to read through to chapter 3 and verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So we have, we're going to begin this morning, and I forgot to set this up and turn it on. Excuse me. Somebody will plug that in out there, I trust. We're beginning this morning in our series on the fundamentals of dispensationalism. And even as I say that, that's kind of a mouthful. So we're going to have to, you know, I know Pastor has been saying that Pastor Stamm's book, Things That Differ, was originally titled The Fundamentals of Dispensationalism. And as I'm going through and preparing for this, I know why he changed that name. Because that's just too much to say, even for a big mouth like me, that's a mouthful. So, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about dispensationalism and what that is. I think we all understand what fundamentals are. We'll be talking about some basic things. And when you talk about dispensationalism, this passage here in Ephesians in chapter 2 and 3 is going to give us is going to serve as our definition and our explanation for what exactly we're talking about. If you see in verse chapter 3 and verse 2, again, just that first clause, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. So when we talk about dispensationalism, that comes from that word there, dispensation. That word you'll find four times in your King James Bible, all by the Apostle Paul. And this passage here, as we look at it, helps to kind of outline what a dispensation is and what it involves. If you think about, just take the word itself, dispensation. That's a little bit shorter than dispensationalism, so we're cutting that down a little bit now. And we can probably pare that down a little further. Dispensation comes from the word dispense. So we know what it is to dispense. Now we're getting this to a more manageable size here. It means to give out, to hand out. So a dispensation is a giving out. That's what the word means in the English. Now, the idea here of what is being given out, you will find, you see there in chapter 3, verse 1, "For this cause, I, Paul," and he goes on and starts talking about dispensations. Well, for what cause? Well, because of what he said before. And you can see back up again, starting in chapter 2, verse 19, this is the cause that he starts talking about this dispensation. "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So here Paul is talking about a house, and he's talking about God building that house, and he's building that house to live in. He says, "You are a habitation of God." So this is a house where God is going to live, where God does live. And not only is God in that passage building a house, but back up in verse 19 again, he's building a household. So we know what, we have some idea of what that means to build a household. Sandy and I have been married 30 years next month. We've been building a house for all of that time. And it always amazes me. We come together at Thanksgiving, and it seems like just yesterday it was only her and I, and now every year there seems to be more and more people, and we've got 18, 20 people around the Thanksgiving table now, and I look at that and I go, where did all this come from? Well, we've been building a house, building a household. Well, that's what God is doing. So when you put the in that, by the way, that the original the word there in the Greek, and you know how I don't like talking about the Greek, but it just so happens that in this case the word dispensation, it means house order. It's the word oikonomia. So now we're back into these giant words, and they're in another language. So you don't have to worry about that. You have a passage here in your Bible, in your English Bible, that defines these things for you. You don't need to know that the Greek word is oikonomia, and it means house order. All you need to do is read the passage and say, well, Paul says, for this cause, I'm telling you about this dispensation. Well, for what cause? Well, because of these household buildings of the, that God is involved with. So, a house order. Now, what is a house order? Well, you and I know we've all grown up in a household, right? And some of you have a household of your own that you run, and different houses are run different ways. One house may be very structured and very scheduled. Everyone up at 6, get washed up, get down for breakfast. 6:45, right? Have breakfast, 7:30, everyone's out the door, come home, do your homework, you know, kids, do your chores, go out, come back, 6 o'clock's dinner, 9 o'clock's bedtime, every day, get up the next day, do the same thing. Some house orders are not quite so structured, thank you. Get up, 6:45. Time enough to grab a donut and run out the door. Get home. If you can do your homework when you get home, maybe you want to do it later on. That's fine too. You go out. You play. You come home. 6:30-ish. Dinner's already made. It's cold, so now you got to nuke it. And you put it on the coffee table in the living room, and you watch TV and you eat. Right. So there's different kinds of house orders. That's the idea. Those two ways that those two houses are run would be dispensations. The house order of a particular house is a dispensation. It's the giving out of the rules and the structure of a house. That's what a dispensation is. So when we talk about dispensationalism, we're talking about partly the acknowledgement that God is, in fact, building a house, that He has a purpose that He is moving toward, and that He has a household that He's putting together in connection with that purpose. Okay? And Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 2 that you and I are a part of that. We're a part of the house, and we're a part of the household. Now, just like we know that different houses are run differently, with different house orders, we also understand that the house order of any given home changes over time, right? Chances are that bedtime for you when you were 15 probably wasn't the same as it was for you when you were 5. So within the house, the order changes as time goes on and as things change. So another important part of dispensationalism, when we talk about that, is acknowledging that God's house order changes over time, and that it is important for us to recognize those changes and to understand what the house order is for us for today. Now, as this passage goes on here, so that's the general idea of that word there, dispensation, and what dispensationalism is. And there are some things here in this passage that'll kind of help expand and expound on that for us in Ephesians chapter 3 again. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. So, Paul says that this dispensation, by the way, is called the dispensation of the grace of God. So it's the giving out of the grace of God. And he says that this dispensation is given to me for you. So when we see a dispensation in the Bible, there are men throughout the Scripture that God has chosen to give. You see what Paul says there in verse 3? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And God, throughout the Bible, at different times, what Hebrews calls sundry times, chooses men to give revelation to. And to those men are committed these dispensations. And Paul says there, it's given me to you word. So there is a person to whom the dispensation is given, and then there are people for whom a dispensation is given. And that man that God chooses, it's his job to give that out. Come back with me. Put something here in Ephesians 2 and 3. If you've got a ribbon, we'll be coming back. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is another place where that word is used, and that'll help us with this idea. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. How many people here have ever seen the TV show Extreme Makeover Home Edition? Has anyone not seen it? We know what that show is, right? That's Ty Pennington. They go around and they find deserving families with crumbling houses who can't afford to fix them up. And they go in there, and what they do is basically, and I don't know, that show ran for a long time. I think they just did their last season last year. But that show progressed as time went on, and they started doing things differently. But what they ended up doing was they would come in and take the family. They, you know, talk to them for a little bit. You know, what do you like? What do you know, that kind of thing. What's important to you? Then they send the family away on vacation for a week, and they knock their house down. Okay, and in that week, while the family's gone, they build them a new house, right? God is building a house. And that process, number one, it happens over a period of time. Number two, there are different aspects and different facets and different disciplines and different parts of the purpose when you're building a house. Those guys are building a house in a week. They've got to be on a tight schedule. You got to have the machines come in. First of all, you got to get the big bulldozers or whatever it is and tear the old thing down, right? But when they tear the old thing down, for the most part, they just, you know, get rid of the house. The house is gone. But there's always something in the house in that show that was important to the people. Some, you know, memories, some kind of thing. And they save that. They pull that out. And they bring that over into the new house, right? And so most of the old house is gone, but some stuff carries over into the new. And you build a new house, and some of that stuff remains. Now, as you're seeing these people in the beginning of the show, and I'll get to the passage in a minute. Now that I've started this, I have to finish it. And you see their house, and they go through their house, and there's the plaster falling off the wall, and the plumbing's leaking, and all of these things are wrong with the house. And so they've got all of these kind of maintenance issues that they need to do. You know, if you got a leaky pipe under the sink, you've got, you know, somebody is in charge of taking the bucket and dumping it out every day or every 3 days or whatever it needs to be, right? There's things that need to be maintained, things that need to be done. That's a part of that house order. Because of the situation that the house is in, part of the running of that household includes those issues, that those things that need to be done. Well, when the new house gets built, the old house is done away, the new house gets built, well, the pipes don't leak anymore. So now, there wouldn't be much point to coming along and the person, whoever was in charge of that before, coming along and taking a bucket and putting it under that brand new sink and brand new pipe and taking it every day, that empty bucket, and going and dumping it and coming and putting it back and just taking it and doing that. There wouldn't be much point to doing that with, because the old things have been replaced by better and more perfect things. So you don't want to be maintaining an old order after a new order has come in. Now you say, well, you know, okay, so what? Somebody wants to go every day and grab an empty bucket and then dump it and put it back. Who cares? Well, let's think about this. Let's say you're a landowner and you've got 30 houses on your property. And the 30 houses are in need of repair, and you've got a man who you've hired, a steward, if you will, to go around and maintain all of your properties. And all of your properties have a leaky pipe under the sink. So you've got 30 buckets in 30 houses filling up drip, drip, drip with water, and your steward, your manager, the person who is in charge of your house order, spends a full day a week going to all of those 30 houses and taking 30 buckets and emptying them out. So you say, well, this is not good. I need to replace this old thing with something new and better. So you fix the plumbing in 30 houses. You spend the money, you take the time, you do that. Well, now you tell your steward, your house manager, okay, we fixed all of those plumbing issues. You don't need to dump the buckets anymore. But he doesn't want to go along with that change. So he goes every day, every week, a full day a week, emptying 30 empty buckets, and you're paying him a full day for doing nothing. Well, what's going to happen? Eventually, if he refuses to come along with the new order, he's going to be fired. Right? So, it's one thing to get fired from your property management job. It's another thing for God to fire you. Right? Because that's what we're talking about here, is the building of God, the household of God, the house order of God. You don't want to be fired by God. When God fires somebody, he fires them, literally. Fires. So, here, that'll bring us here to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 16. Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." So we're talking about that dispensation that was given me to you, Word. And we're talking about the man now that these dispensations are given to. So Paul says that a dispensation of the gospel is committed to me. He's the guy. He's God's steward for this particular house order that he calls the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, you'll notice in that verse there, in verse 17, that it's a dispensation of the gospel. So when I tell you that, you know, when God fires you, he uses real fire, I mean, this issue of dispensationalism that we're talking about here, the gospel is involved with this. So, if you operate under the wrong house order, you are in danger of missing out on the gospel, on your salvation, trying to take somebody else's bucket. And, when God has given you something different to do. So, the things that we're talking about here are eternal serious for me and for you individually, personally, and for God. This is His house, after all. And He's building it in a particular way. Now, back to Ty Pennington. When those guys are building that house, they tear down the old house, right? Start building a new house. After the machines are gone, they've bulldozed the old thing. Well, now the earth-moving machines have to come in. Those guys operate those machines. They're licensed to do that. They know how to do that. They have a blueprint for the hole in the ground that they're going to dig. They know how wide it needs to be. They know how long it needs to be. They know how deep. They know the breadth, length, and depth of what they're doing, right? Because they've got a blueprint. So they go in there and they do their job. They dig it out, they measure it out, they make sure, and there's a foreman, there's a steward, there's someone who's in charge of that piece, digging the hole. Then when they're all done with that and the steward has checked it and he's made sure that everybody did everything the way according to the specifications, then you get the concrete pourers. You get the idea. They come in, they have a whole new set. What's the mix of the concrete? How is that supposed to go together? What's the, all of those rules? That's another. See, all of these things are individual house orders. Building one house. Everybody who has a piece of the house to build has a particular set of instructions, an order, a house order, how it's supposed to be done. Foundations poured, the carpenters come in, put up the walls, and like that. Now, in that process, especially there on that show, because they're doing the whole thing in a week, incidentally, God built his house in a week, didn't he? Go back there to Genesis chapter 1. We might talk about that later. That sometimes those house orders overlap each other. Sometimes the carpenters will still be there putting up the walls, and the drywall guys are in there trying to slap drywall up on it. And then, then the electrician has to come in and say, hey, wait a minute, you can't put drywall up yet because we need to run the lines in back behind there. And all of that needs to be coordinated, right? And sometimes those guys are working at the same time. One person gets one section done, the next crew comes in there and starts working while they're... So sometimes there's an overlap in dispensations, right? In the working of the order. As the one crew is finishing up, the other crew is setting up and getting started. Well, you see that in the Bible too, as you go from dispensation to dispensation. And sometimes you'll look at a piece of the scripture and you'll say, well, what dispensation is this? I see this going on, but I also see this going on. Well, what you've got is the electricians and the plumbers are working at the same time, right? You got an overlap in these house orders. Now, what Paul also said there, come over to, we don't have to go to Ephesians 3 again, get Colossians chapter 1. Essentially what we're doing here is we're moving through these places where this word dispensation is used. Colossians chapter 1. So Paul says that this dispensation is committed to me. So he's the steward. And he says it's given me to you word. So there's a person that the dispensation is given to, and then there are people who that steward is responsible to hand that dispensation out to. And all these things that we're seeing there in Ephesians chapter 3, 2 and 3, are laying out the primary points and important things for us to know about dispensations. If you want to know about dispensations, that's your passage, Ephesians 2 and 3 there. Colossians and chapter 1, in verse 23, grab it there, says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So that's that gospel that was given to him that we just saw in 1 Corinthians 9. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So now here you've got the people that that Paul was given this dispensation to give out to. You see what he says again? Look at the end of verse 23. Talking about that gospel whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And then at the end of verse 24, for his body's sake, which is the church whereof I am made a minister. So Paul's got a twofold responsibility there. His responsibility is to receive this dispensation and to give out this dispensation to these particular people, the church, which is his body. So, when you talk about dispensations, you have a house order, a set of instructions under which the household is to live. You have a man to whom those instructions were given. And you have the household, the people who get those instructions from that man. So as you're going through the scripture, come back into Ephesians chapter 3 with me. Because this is where it comes down home for you and me now. Paul lived 2,000 years ago. He received this dispensation, you know, all that time ago. How do we know what our instructions are? How do we even know that Paul's our steward? Well, we know it from the Scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So there you go. You and I, what we've got today is we've got this book, where this house order has been written down from the beginning. So as you go back from the beginning, let's go back to Extreme Home Makeover. Let's say you're building that house, the architect, before the first shovel full of dirt was dug out, the architect knew exactly what that finished product was going to look like, right? And he drew up, or she drew up, all the specs for that, all the measurements, all the design elements, all the things that go into that. So all of that from beginning to end is written down, is recorded. Okay? So let's say that halfway through building this new house, part of what the carpenters need to do, they're putting up some kind of fancy cathedral ceiling that needs to be supported until it's finished. So part of the carpenter's specs is to put up a temporary structure, a wall, to hold up that part of the ceiling until the thing is done. When it's done, that temporary partition comes down, right? So let's say that the carpenters go in and they do their job and they put up their temporary wall and they finish their ceiling, and when everything's done and good, they take that temporary wall down. They go away. The electricians come in. They're going to start running the wires, but one electrician decides, he's messing around in the walls there, and he finds the plans, the blueprint, the order for the carpenters. And he goes, you know what? I'm tired of being an electrician today. I want to be a carpenter. And he looks at that and he says, oh, look here. There's supposed to be a wall here. They messed up. There's no wall. So he goes and he builds the wall. Right in the middle of the house. Messes up the ceiling, all of that. People can't get through from one side to the other. Because that partition that was designed by the architect to be temporary, and when the due time came to tear that thing down, this guy wants to come along and put it back up. Well, again, someone's getting fired. You can't go back and take somebody else's orders. You can't go back and do somebody else's job. The Lord has a household that He's building. And He has things for certain people to do at certain times. And it's not for you and for me, in our house order, with the responsibilities He's given us, to go back and try to do what He gave for someone else to do. Especially those things that were temporary. And that He has commanded to be torn down. Paul says, if I build again that which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. See, again, we're not just talking about getting fired now. We're talking about God's household. So, we have the Scripture. And as we go through the Scripture, see, we've got all the plans now. There in Colossians, in the passage we were just at, Paul says that this dispensation is given to me to fulfill the Word of God. So now we know what this house is going to look like. So the danger for us is that, like that electrician, we go back and find somebody else's instructions and try and do that ourselves. And you know what? An electrician isn't going to be as good a carpenter as a carpenter. That's why you see people today trying to do things the way that they did, whether it's being baptized in water, whether it's speaking in tongues, whether it's trying to continue a priesthood, whatever it is. Number one, they ought not be doing that because those are former instructions. But number two, they don't know how to do it. Because that's not what they were given to do. Just like the electrician doesn't know how to properly build that wall that wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. So there are times for these things, and then there are people who are prepared, instructed, trained to work within their house order. You and I are trained to work, to live in this dispensation of the grace of God. And that's where God's power is today. For us to go back and to try to live under some old house order, number one, we're not trained to do that. We can't do it properly. Number two, even if you were trained, you couldn't do it properly because God said, stop doing that. The house has moved on. How many layers of stucco are you going to put on the basement wall after the thing is done? You're going to close the basement in eventually, right? So we've got the whole record here. So we need to know. We're not just looking at a piece of the blueprint. We've got the whole thing. So when we talk about dispensationalism is the acknowledgement that we have the whole blueprint. And the whole blueprint is for us to look at and to read and to understand, but it's important to know what piece of that blueprint applies to us, to you, to me, and what pieces don't. Come back with me to Genesis chapter 6. Now we'll get into some more particulars. We're just kind of introducing ourselves here, getting an idea of the basics of just what the word means. Genesis chapter 6, you're about to come into one dispensational change in the Bible. And look at verse 11. The earth, Genesis 6:11, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So now this is what you call a dispensational change. Up until this time, God is not destroying all flesh. As of this time, he's going to destroy all flesh. That's a dispensational change. That's God changing. Listen, not only what he requires of the household, it's not just the household rules that change, but the way that God acts and deals with people changes. So he says, I'm going to destroy all flesh. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and pitch it within and without with pitch. Drop down verse 17. Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, thy wives, thy son, thy household, basically. So Noah's going to be saved by this ark. Now let me ask you something. Here's a dispensational change. Do you think it's important for Noah, number one, to know about it? I would think so. Number two, to go with it and to do what God says? Before this, he didn't tell anybody to build an ark. Noah could have said, well, we never did this before. Never built an ark before. That's not the way we do things. But he didn't. God came to him with a revelation. He's a steward that God is giving this new dispensation to. And he gets to build in that ark. And the consequence is that he and his household is saved, and the rest of all flesh is destroyed from off the face of the earth. So when we talk about, is this stuff important, I would call that important. Now, in our last few minutes here, while we're back here, let's talk about these dispensational changes. And we're going to use Adam to Noah, just to get some examples of what a dispensational change might look like. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, when God put Adam in the garden, he gave him the house order, gave him some rules, things to do, things not to do. Adam was the first steward. Adam, you know, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, let a man so account of us as the stewards of the mysteries of God. And that's what Paul was. He was that man who received the mystery. And he says, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And that's what you want in a steward. When you set someone over the affairs of your house to dispense and maintain the house order, which includes your money and your stuff and the feeding of your children and your servants and your whole household is being run by this one person. What you want in that person is faithfulness. You want to be able to trust him. Trust him with your money, trust him with your stuff, trust him with your house, you're trusting him with your family. With your household, and you're trusting him to give out, to dispense the house order the way you want it run. Adam was put here to be a steward over God's house. God creates heaven and earth, and he created that to dwell in, by the way. And he puts a steward here. He puts Adam here to be to have stewardship over this, over his house. Adam proved to be an unfaithful steward. And as we study dispensations then through the Bible, what we're really looking at is God's rebuilding of his house because of what the first steward, because of his unfaithfulness. All the dispensational changes as you go through the Bible are trying to are reconstructing the house, or at least the household. See, because what God is doing here, you know, when Ty Pennington knocks down a house, he gets the people out first, right? You don't kill the people when you knock down the house, at least not your household. You don't. And what the Lord is doing here is he's building his household through these dispensations, through the Scripture. Part of that is you and me. Now, when the household is built, the house is going to be demolished, and he's going to build a new one, right? New heavens and new earth. Some of the things from the old house, like you and me, are going to get transferred over into the new house. But this old house is going away. But when we look at these dispensational changes over time, what you're seeing is the repair and rebuilding of what this first steward lost. So back here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in His image, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Adam, you are in charge. You're the steward of the earth. And he says part of that is to be fruitful and multiply. Verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So there's two things there. God says, number one, be fruitful and multiply. He establishes the institution of marriage and of family there. And he says, I want you to build my household. Multiply in the earth. Number two, he gives him a provision. He gives him food to eat, which includes herbs and fruit. And he says, for you, I've given to be meat. Now look in chapter 4. We've got to go through this quickly. Of course, in chapter 3, we know what happens. Adam sins. He eats the fruit because along with the food that God gave him, there was a restriction. One thing he wasn't supposed to eat. And he ate it, right? The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Paul says that by one man, sin entered the world and death by sin. So Adam kind of messed up the household there. But after that, things change. There's a dispensational change and new things are required. But here in chapter 4, Cain kills Abel. And we don't have time to go into the details. You can read it there for yourself. So it's the first murder. And God casts him out in verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. From thy face shall I be hid. And a fugitive and a vagabond shall I be in the earth. It shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. People are going to kill me because I killed my brother. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find him, should kill him. So here we've got a murder, and we've got God's response to it. And God's response is to banish him, but when the issue of the death penalty comes up, God strictly forbids it and says anyone who does that, who wants to kill Cain for what he did, vengeance will be taken on you sevenfold. So God is emphatically against the death penalty here in this passage. Come over to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. This is after the flood now, and Noah and his family are coming off of the ark. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So that commandment to continue the building the household, to be fruitful and multiply, that stays, right? Pretty much unchanged. So from one dispensation into the next, you've got that commandment there, doesn't change at all. It carries right through. As a matter of fact, that commandment's still valid for you and for me today. Read on. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth on the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. So now, you've got something being added. Be fruitful and multiply carries through unchanged. The dietary laws now, it was just herbs and the fruit of trees. Now, God adds meat to what people are allowed to eat. So now, here's a dispensational change in the form of what was there before stays, but something is added to it. So, one thing remains unchanged completely. One thing stays but is added to. And read on. Look at verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And God here institutes the death penalty. Now that is a complete doing away of his order before, that if anyone tries to kill Cain, I'll take vengeance on him sevenfold. That is gone. It doesn't carry over. It doesn't partly carry over. It is gone, and it's replaced with a whole new instruction. So as we go through these dispensations, and I got to quit, this is, when you talk about dispensational change, this is the kind of thing that you're going to see. Some of that stuff, you know, they're tearing down that old house, and there's something, you know, that the owner wants to keep. Well, they pull that out, right? Then they tear down the house, and they bring that over and put it in a new house. Well, that's what the Lord does. Some things stay. Some things are added to. Some things are done away and replaced completely. And we will leave it there, because it is 10:30. Do you have a question?
Yeah, what happens to those who frustrate the grace of God, like Paul?
Well, when you frustrate the grace of God, you're essentially frustrating yourself and your own Christian life, because basically you're choking off the power for your life. I think Paul's talking about believers there. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, and you shouldn't either. So he's not talking about not being saved. He's talking about trying to live under the law. He's talking to the Galatians and being circumcised and trying to do those things after the old order and not after the way that God does them today. And you're frustrating the grace of God when you do that.
Does the rewards are diminished from something of that nature?
Well, that's for the Lord to decide, but I would think. Paul says, let no man beguile you of your reward with meats and drinks and going back to all that old stuff.
Right. Thank you, Dave.
Mm-hmm. I think then what we'll do is we will change the name from the Fundamentals of Dispensationalism, and we're going to call this series The House That God Built. How's that sound?
That's good.
Better? All right. God bless you.